Welcome to Senator Crapo's Weekly Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Marcus Chavez, Senator Crapo's Deputy Communications Director. In this podcast, we'll review what has been taking place in the Senate over the past week and recap some of the issues that Senator Crapo is currently working on that are of particular interest to Idahoans. This is a wrap-up for the week ending on Friday, July 18th, 2008. Here is a recap of this week's votes. The Senate held 8 roll call votes this week. All those votes, except for one, were pertaining to a bill providing aid to fight HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria globally.
The PEPFAR legislation is an acronym for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, primarily in Africa, but there is some effort to try to expand it. The Senate is going to act on this global AIDS bill after we invoked cloture last Friday. But before we do so, we'll probably cover a number of amendments. This bill will cost $50 billion over 5 years and will expand the President's authority for his initiative to fight AIDS and tuberculosis and malaria overseas. And although I believe everyone supports the notion that the United States should be supportive to the extent that we can with regard to those who are in such difficult circumstances overseas, there are large questions about whether this extra $50 billion can be fit into our budget at this point when we are facing almost a $700 billion budget deficit in this year alone and when our national debt is rising so rapidly. And so many of us think that perhaps we should not expand the program, but should try to pay attention to some of our mounting fiscal problems with the economic decline that we see so significantly impacting us here in the United States. It'll be interesting to see how the vote on this bill ultimately turns out.
Most of the amendments were offered in order to curtail the nearly $50 billion cost of the bill. Those amendments were rejected, and the Senate passed the overall bill on Thursday by a vote of 80-16. Senator Crapo voted no on final passage. The bill now heads to the House of Representatives for consideration. The one vote this week not pertaining to the PEPFAR bill was on the override of President Bush's veto on the Medicare bill.
We will vote very soon on the President's veto of the Medicare bill that passed the Senate last week. I was one of just 30 who voted no on the cloture motion, and there's been a lot of misinformation put out about this bill. Ostensibly, the bill was to correct a problem in the physician compensation area of Medicare to stop a 10% cut to physician reimbursement in the Medicare arena. And I strongly agree that that 10% cut should not occur. Physicians are already undercompensated in Medicare, and many of them are going to stop seeing their Medicare patients if we continue to see a decline in their reimbursement rates. And so I believe that that problem should be fixed. In fact, I would bet that a majority of both the Republican and Democrat senators, a large, strong majority, believes that that problem should be fixed. However, instead of simply fixing that problem, this bill also deleted significant portions of the market-oriented reforms to Medicare that I and many others have fought for the last 5 or 6 years. Yeah, it's an effort by the majority here who is convinced that they should move to a more government-run system of health care, that they want to stop the market-oriented reforms that we have put into place. And so I voted no. And this was not a vote against the physician compensation. It was a vote against trying to socialize American medicine in the Medicare arena.
The Senate did override the President's veto, with Senator Crapo voting no on the override. With the high price of energy on the mind of nearly every American, the Senate will now focus its attention on energy issues. Senator Crapo spoke on the floor of the Senate on the topic of energy, including the response he has received from Idahoans on how the high price of energy is affecting them.
We here in the United States Senate, I hope, are going to be debating a robust, full agenda of ideas about how to deal with this crisis. And we will have a tremendous amount of ideas coming forward from Idaho. I told my constituents that I would get their ideas and their positions put into this debate. I'm putting every one of those emails into the congressional record. And I'm going to talk about those emails and the responses and the ideas of my Idaho constituents.
in the debate as we move forward. But I'll tell you, there's another thing that is coming through loud and clear in the message from my constituency, and that is this, that they believe that the problem we face is largely a result of Congress's failure to enact a rational, meaningful energy policy for this country. Our failure to act is recognized. And, you know, I believe they're right. Congress could have acted years ago, and we would be in a better position. There are many things that we can do and need to do, and we have an opportunity to do it. And the American people, I hope, are watching. One of the concerns that I have is that if Congress, once again, just looks for a quick fix, just says, hey, there's one problem here, there's too much speculation in the futures market, we will stop that speculation in the futures market, and then we will have solved the oil crisis, then Congress will have once again failed to act in a responsible fashion. We need a rational energy policy, and I like to analogize that to how we would deal with our own investment portfolio. When they invest their own resources, Americans are constantly advised not to invest everything in one asset. Yet the United States has done just that in our energy policy. We are far too dependent on petroleum as our source of energy in this country. And we are far too dependent on foreign sources of that petroleum, as we have refused to develop and produce our own resources. We need to have, as we, in my opinion, a much more diverse energy policy and a more diverse energy portfolio, if you will, where we look at renewable fuels and alternative fuels, nuclear power. Yes, we'll have to have a significant amount of petroleum for the future. We will still have a great need for petroleum, even as we seek to diversify. But there are many things we can do. And added to that, what often is called a fifth source of energy is conservation, where we can be much more efficient and much more effective in reducing our utilization of energy. Every barrel of oil not used, every kilowatt of electricity not used, is equivalent to one that is produced. And we've got to become aggressive in looking at these kinds of solutions.
Senator Crapo also questioned Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke during a hearing in the Senate Banking Committee on the role energy speculators play in the overall cost of crude oil. If you would like to listen to Senator Crapo's entire floor speech or his questioning of Bernanke, log on to his website at crapo.senate.gov. Well, that will do it for this week's podcast. Once again, we invite you to participate in the weekly wrap-up podcast. If you would like to ask Senator Crapo a question, you can email that question to crapo_podcast@crapo.senate.gov. Whenever possible, we will have Senator Crapo answer a question in the podcast. You can also send in an MP3 file of you asking the question, if you are so inclined. Again, you can email your question to crapo_podcast@crapo.senate.gov. Please include your first name and where you are from. As always, we thank you for listening and hope you will be able to join us again next week.